Friends, have you ever had to live in someone else's shadow? Have you ever been overshadowed by someone else? Maybe it was an older sibling who was like perfect. And then every time you went through the same classes that they went to in school, the teacher expected you to be as perfect as the older sibling. Now, I was the oldest sibling, so my younger siblings always thought that about me. Or maybe it was a job where you replaced someone and all you heard about for the first year was your predecessor. You know, so-and-so used to do this, why don't you do that? I bet we've all had some experience in family, in organizations, in jobs, whatever, in which we felt overshadowed by another, or that we were constantly having to live in the shadow of someone else. And we don't like that because it pokes a little bit at our ego. Like, it's really hard, right? This happens with priests too, of course. I remember growing up, we had a pastor in Marblehead. He was there for 24 years. And when he left, it was hard on our parish, and because that's all I grew up with, everybody. And I remember my mother said to the new pastor after about a month that he was there, which she should have never done, but she said, well, you know, Father Ott would have done it this way. And he must have heard that, you know, 1,000 times, and this was the last straw. And so he just lit my mother up. And I was standing there and I was kind of laughing. I thought it was funny. So it happens in our world as well. We don't like it. It pokes at our ego, pokes at our pride, pokes at our vanity. We don't like being compared to people that others think do better than us or have a more important role than us or a more important contribution. Advent puts before us two primary figures throughout the season. They're Mary and John the Baptist. Mary and John the Baptist are in some ways the two central figures of Advent. Mary for obvious reasons, because from her will come the child we are about to celebrate. And John the Baptist, who is like the preacher of preparation for Jesus. He's the one that prepares the way, right, for Jesus' coming onto the scene. And though Mary and John the Baptist are very different characters, very different lifestyles, you might say, right, they have one incredible thing in common. They were totally content to live from a spirit of deference to Jesus. They were totally content to live in his shadow. They were totally content to let themselves and their mission be totally overshadowed by the mission of Jesus. In today's gospel, there are rumors starting about John. Like, he's so dynamic. Like, he's so incredible as a preacher. People are starting to whisper in the community. They're saying, maybe he's the Messiah. Like, this might be the guy. Now, I think if it was you or I, we might start believing some of that hype. Like the hype about ourselves, like, oh yeah, I am that good. You know, like, maybe I am the Messiah. Like, you know, you can start believing your own PR. And you'd be like, yeah, I thought it was someone else, but I'm starting to believe maybe it is me. No. John has nothing to do with that. He makes incredibly clear from the very beginning, I am not the guy. I am simply the signpost. I'm simply the one that's pointing you to him. Don't focus on me. Focus on Jesus. And so John says some beautiful things in this regard, right? He says in his ministry, Jesus must increase and I must decrease. And today in the gospel, he says, one mightier than I is coming, one greater than I is coming. I'm not even worthy enough to untie his shoes. In other words, don't look at me. Don't get caught up in my mission. Right? Be drawn through me into the mission of Christ. Mary, of course, is the same way. Mary sees her entire life and contribution as drawing other people through her into Christ's mission. Mary only speaks four times in the scriptures, and every time she does, she shows this incredible deference to Jesus, to the will of God, and to the needs of others. Think of her words at the Magnificat, when she says, my soul magnifies the Lord. In other words, my life is meant to increase Jesus in you, just like a magnifying glass increases the size of the object that you look at. My life, Mary says, my soul is meant to increase the size of Jesus within you. Think of what Mary says at the wedding feast of Cana when she says to the servants, do whatever he tells you. And think, of course, of the Annunciation, which we'll hear next weekend, in which we're told that Mary was overshadowed by the power of the Holy Spirit to conceive this child. And so, friends, Mary and John represent for us an incredible example to sort of combat our own pride, because their lives, they saw, their mission, they saw, was to lead other people to Jesus. Not to get so caught up in their reputation or what people were saying about them or living in their own limelight. They wanted to stay in the shadow that was cast by the light of Jesus. How in these last few weeks might we live from this spirit of deference to God, and we might say to the needs of others as well? A couple thoughts. First of all, we have to be honest with ourselves about our sinfulness. John the Baptist's preaching to prepare for Jesus is simply this: repent. Because if you're dirty, you're not going to be able to fully receive the life that Jesus wants to give you. You have to, in the image of last weekend's gospel, you have to remove the congestion and the clutter from the highway of your heart if you want Jesus to be able to drive securely and have access to your heart. And so the first message of John the Baptist and the call of Advent is to repent, to be honest with ourselves about our sins. Because if we aren't sinners, we don't need Christmas. If we aren't sinners, we don't need a Savior. And so John prepares the way of Jesus precisely by advocating for their confession of their sins and to be honest with themselves about their own imperfections and need for the redeeming love and mercy of Jesus. To make a good examination of conscience during these last 2 weeks of Advent. Because one of the ways we reinforce our pride is by convincing ourselves that we're not that bad, that we're like better than most people. But that's not the standard. Like, the standard's not, I'm not in jail. Like, that's not the standard. Right? The standard is living like Christ. That's the standard. Right? And I think we all have work to do in that area. The second thing of how we live in a spirit of deference to God and the needs of others is to live to the best of our ability the mission and the station in life that we have been entrusted with. One of the beautiful things about this gospel is that people are coming up to John the Baptist with different jobs and vocations and saying, John, how do we live out a relationship with the Lord? And notice in the two examples we have from the reading, John gives very different advice to the soldier and to the tax collector. In other words, saying you live out the relationship with God and the needs of others differently. Right? So to the tax collector, he says, don't take more than what's prescribed. To the soldier, right, he says, don't practice extortion, don't falsely accuse anyone, be content with your wages. In other words, all of us, right, are called to live out our particular station in family and in job and so on, with the care that that particular station and vocation demands. Right? Not to meddle in a bunch of things beyond us. Not to meddle and focus our attention on a bunch of things for which we have no control. But John the Baptist, in giving particular advice to those particular professions, is encouraging us to embrace the humility of simply accepting where we're at and living in that station, right, with that lot that we've been given to the best of our ability. Right, St. Francis de Sales says, holiness consists in being yourself and being that well. Not being someone else, not living someone else's life, but being yourself and being that well. So John calls us to that humility. Because that's a kind of humility when we don't meddle in a bunch of things outside of our control, right, which we like to do. The third thing is find really concrete ways to show deference to God and to the needs of others. Really concrete. One of the ways we show deference to God is simply to make time for prayer. And this is hard, right? It's hard in our busy schedules to literally schedule. I mean, I have to, in my schedule, which has like 9 colors in Google Calendar, and I always get lost in the colors and end up not showing up to the blue colors, and it's a mess. But I have to schedule prayer time, or it won't happen. And so to make time for God, especially when we're busiest, take your busiest day and make 10 minutes for prayer. What an incredible sign of deference to God. Or when you get up on a Sunday morning and it's this is the last place you want to be, and you go that Sunday, right? Because the worship of God is more important than how you feel that morning, right? That's incredible deference to the will of God. And find concrete ways to show deference to others. I want to share with you 2 little things in my own life that have had a big impact on me. And they're small. When I was little, when me and my brother and sister were little, and we would be with my dad, and we'd drive somewhere to a store, he would always park in the far back of the parking lot. And it drove us nuts as little kids. You know, so we'd pass like 100 spots. And we'd be like, Mom parks up there, you know? And we'd get out and we'd walk, and we'd always say, Dad, what are you... And he always says the same thing. Kids, there are lots of people that aren't blessed with the same health that we're blessed with. We always park the farthest away to let tons of other people park in front of us. Right? And I hated it at the time. It annoyed me greatly. But it was an important lesson for me, you know. And if you catch me on the right day, right, I still do it. not every day, but on the right day. The other was a friend I had in college who would go to Kroger, and then he'd come out in the parking lot, and I'd get in the car, and then he would go into these cages, you know, where you put your carts, which are always a disaster, and he would rearrange the carts into 2 aisles, the proper size carts, and then he would go out and he'd find all the loose carts in the lot, and he would put them in there. And I'd be angry because I'm sitting in the car. What is going on? You know? And so I said, what are you doing? He said, it just makes it easier for the employees. He said, and what if some car would hit one of these, you know, loose shopping carts out in the lot? And again, on a good day, you might see me doing this at Kroger. Just know I haven't lost it. Those are, you know, 2 seemingly insignificant things that people taught me through the years. I know you know things like that because they're little gestures in which we say, I'm not the center of the world. Like, I want to make life easier for other people. Like, I'm not the center. Someone else and their needs and God are before me. Right? And we've got to find little gestures, right, in which we show deference for God, God's purposes, and the needs of others. So friends, as we kind of move about 2/3 through our Advent season, we put before ourselves the figures of Mary and John the Baptist today, that they might help us to show us that it's not all about us, right? The last thing as a Christian someone should say about us is they're all about themselves, right? That we need to live from a spirit of deference to God and a spirit of deference to the needs of others. And let's pray for Mary and John the Baptist's intercession as we strive to do that in these final weeks of Advent.